Bibles and turn to John chapter 8. I don't know, remember the custom of the church of whether or not you stand during the reading, even though you just stood. I'm going to have you turn to John chapter 8. There's not going to be a lot of verses. It'll just take a minute. But you know what we're doing? We're honoring God's word. We're honoring the word of God. Amen. The word of God is everything. And you ought to believe that. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. And so you need to grow. And you grow by reading God's word. John chapter 8. This is the account of the woman taken in adultery. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again unto the people, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. Can you imagine being around Jesus? And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. Now here is all these religious people. It's strange they know her, you know. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, unto Jesus, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down. I'm sure the ground was sandy. Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not paying attention to them. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help me. Lord, I'm not deserving of anything, but help me to be a blessing. Thank you for this church. The church is the people. Thank you for Brother Larry. Bring him back safely, Lord, wherever he's at, and back to the church. And I'm thankful for this church, thankful for an opportunity to preach, and I pray that you would use it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Interesting account. They bring this woman who was taken in adultery, and you know, they're the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes, and they're supposed to be like the religious people, okay? And they're coming to him just to see what he's going to do, okay? They're wanting to see what he does. And so Jesus already knows their heart. Do you know that God already knows what you're thinking right now? He does. He knows every thought that you have. And not only that, I'll read it in a little bit. He knows the intentions of your heart. Now that's crazy, huh? That God knows the intentions of your heart. In other words, it doesn't matter if I'm standing up here with a jacket and a tie and we've got our, quote, coming to church. And I hate to say this, but God knows really what's going on, what we're going through in life, where we've been, what we're thinking. Some things maybe we've done that maybe we shouldn't have done. You know what I'm saying? And so they're talking to him, and he says, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. See, that was their intentions. And they were testing him. They were tempting him. And you know, Jesus never sinned. Not one time. Jesus never sinned. And I'm thankful for some things that we can learn here. And I want to show you how that Jesus made everyone there aware of their sin. He made them aware of their sin. And I want to say this to you this evening. God can make you aware of your sin. And I want to show you three ways that God makes you aware of your sin. I know you're probably going to be thinking, and you can get ahead of me, you know, what are the ways that God can make you aware of your sin? Well, let's just look at it together. And he knows all about them already. And he doesn't have to say much. He just starts writing on the ground. Now, nobody really knows what he wrote on the ground. Okay? Nobody does. And I've heard it preached and many things said, but nobody knows exactly. But you know what he did? He made them think about some things. And from the eldest, I'll be the eldest. Okay? But if it was talking to this crowd, the eldest to the youngest, they started leaving one by one. Whatever it was, okay, he got right into their heart. And so let me turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to show you the first way. This was from the beginning, from the very beginning of time, the age of innocence. And that's when Adam and Eve, you know, was in the garden. They didn't really know about sin. They hadn't eaten yet of the fruit, right? And that's all God told them not to do. Don't eat of the fruit. And so it was an age of innocence. And let me say this. They were naked. They didn't know they were naked. Right? Remember? I'll read some of that in a minute. But they were naked and didn't know they were naked. And if you had a baby up here, a three-month-old baby, okay, and you were holding the baby, and the baby was naked. That baby doesn't know he's naked, right? Huh? Okay, now you would be embarrassed, but the baby's not. And in the age of innocence, when Adam and Eve, hey, they were naked, and they didn't know it was a problem. And 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But I want you to see verse 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Their conscience seared with a hot iron. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I think I've probably given some of the testimony. But I was around when they had big gangs back in those days in the 60s and so forth and so on. And I know my police officer here tonight understands that some people just don't have no conscience. In other words, it doesn't bother them what they do. You know what I'm saying? It's just like they don't care. And what it says here in verse 2, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, they have no conscience. Nothing bothers them. Nothing at all bothers them. And I knew some guys back in the day, and I'm thankful that I was taught better, but I was hanging around with some guys, and, you know, I mean, they would talk about, you know, they wouldn't think nothing, carry a knife, and they would talk about, well, if I have to, I'll stab somebody. And I'm thinking, my words. And I knew I'm with the wrong people. You know what I'm saying? But for whatever reason, and I'm thinking about some of these guys, and I've thought about them, and I would run around with this one guy, and he wound up, because you're with that type of crowd, you're going to do some things you shouldn't, and I did, even though my conscience was telling me, you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be doing that. It doesn't matter what it is. It wasn't like, you know, something really, really bad, okay? But I knew my conscience telling me, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I had a conscience. Don't you have a conscience? You ever heard of let your conscience be your guide? Okay. But there's some people, they just don't have no conscience. And nothing bothers them. And I want to tell you what, God can use your conscience to let you be aware of what's taking place. And that's the three things I want you to see tonight. How God makes you aware of things. And one of the ways is through your conscience. Be thankful tonight that your conscience is not seared. Okay? That you have a conscience that will still tell you right and wrong. Amen? I mean, you shouldn't do that. Oh, you shouldn't do this. And, I knew guys, I worked out, when I got out of the Marines, I worked at Union Carbide. And, you'd have your lunch box, and it wasn't real big, but you'd have to go through the gate and you'd have to open up, you'd have to go past the guard, or there was two of them, two gates, and everybody had to walk through there, open their lunch box, okay? Because you could put different tools in there, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it could be, whatever it might be. And so they were, so nobody put any things in their lunchbox. But I knew a guy that was going to take about 50 feet of copper. And you know what he did? He wrapped it around him and put his shirt. It was in wintertime. And then he put a coat on top of that. Okay. And he started breathing hard. And he got to the gate and he opened up his box and then passed out. They take him to the infirmary. And be sure your sin will find you out. So he got caught. It's just like, if you get pulled over by the police, they say, you got anything in the car, you might as well just tell them what you got, okay? We were just making a joke about that before the service. And so let your conscience be your guide. Your conscience is going to show you what's right and wrong. Titus 1:15, right there near Timothy. Turn there to Titus 1:15. Not only can your conscience be seared, Titus 1:15 says, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. And we're talking about people who are lost. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. And I tie in the mind, and you can't explain it, but the mind and the conscience, okay, together. And it says that the mind and conscience is defiled. You know why? It has seen a lot of things it shouldn't have seen. Maybe looks at things that you shouldn't look at, and you defile your conscience. You go some places that you shouldn't go, and you defile your conscience. And you can even be, God can use your conscience to tell you, you shouldn't be here. Shouldn't be here. Just like God told me through my conscience, shouldn't be hanging around with this guy. Shouldn't be hanging around with this guy. Okay? Do you ever have, we don't have a lot of young people, but, my dad would tell me, don't hang around with that guy. I didn't even know him. Don't hang around with that guy. Lo and behold, it cost me for hanging around with somebody, okay, that I shouldn't be hanging around with. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Quickly read a few verses here in Genesis, because it's the age of innocence. The age of innocence, no sin. Genesis 2:25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. I've already explained that to you a little bit, like the baby and so forth and so on. Not ashamed. Now, we can't comprehend that. You know why? Because we now have a conscience. And go to chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, that's what she was being tempted, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Look at verse 7. And the eyes of them both were what? Opened. Watch this. Boom. Now, they already had eyes that were open. Are you following me? But now they look at each other and they know they're naked. They know they're naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. I remember doing a message one time, and I had behind the pulpit, I had like an apron, okay? And I made it look like fig leaves, and I put it on, and I tied it, and I came in, and see, and I just said, look, this is what they look like. And they were covered with fig leaves. Now, I want to ask you something. Did that cover their sin? No. It did not cover their sin. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin, you know the rest of it, shall not prosper. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Is there somebody you can think of? I don't have it written down here. Immediately I think of Achan. Remember the account of Achan? Stole some things, hid it. Okay? Can't hide from God. You can't hide anything from God. I think the guy was foolish putting copper around him. I don't know what it was worth. I don't know. It might have been $100. It doesn't matter. It was foolish. You know what happened? He lost a job paying a lot of money over something like that. You know, we got to sometimes count the cost of sin. Okay, let me go on down to verse 9. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? God already knew where he was. Right? Sometimes God just wants to make attention to you. I remember when I first got saved, and occasionally I'd go somewhere where I kind of shouldn't be, and I'd get, you know, I'd let that bother me, and, you know, and I even talked to the pastor about it, and so forth and so on, and finally I just said, you know what, this is not the place where I'm supposed to be. Who am I fooling? Okay? And you got to deal with that as you're growing. Okay? I didn't get saved till I was, let me go back to 1978, 46, 56, 66, 32. I'm 74 now. Okay? I've learned a lot. But at 32, can I say this? I knew too much. Are you with me? I knew too much. I knew things that I maybe should have never been around. And so it makes us, we got to be careful. As parents, we got to be careful with younger siblings. We got to be careful with friends. We got to be careful of how we can hurt somebody. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Okay? And so we've got to understand there's some things that could get us in trouble. And then they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. I'm giving you a little glimpse of why they left. In other words, they come trying to point the finger at her. Well, you know what it says. I have a scripture. I didn't read it. It says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? you want to try to act like you're better than somebody, or you want to act, or you want to point something wrong with them, and you're trying to point out a fault with them, and you've got bigger faults. We've all done that, right? We've all done that. You know what we got to do? Yeah, take a look at your own self. Take a look in the mirror and try to tell yourself, oh, this little sin doesn't bother me. Look in the mirror where you can see yourself. You know, you can't do it. You can't look in the mirror. You can't do it. Oh, this sin's not going to bother me. And if we can do that and it be okay, let's go back to our conscience being seared or defiled because of too much. Let me go to the next. The Bible says in John 16:8, turn there. I skipped over. Okay. I'm sorry. We're going to go back to that. Turn with me to Hebrews 4:12. I'm going to talk to how God makes us aware with the Word of God. Amen? Are you being made aware of things tonight? I don't know what, you know what it could be. I don't know what you need. I know as I prepared for this, I had to say to myself, wow, yeah, don't be a hypocrite. You know what I'm saying? And I think of Hebrews 4:12. Let me just read it because you know it. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, the Word of God, hey, is so alive. It says the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's quick and powerful. It's quick because it's alive. It's real. The Word of God is real. The Bible says in Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Well, I tell you what, sometimes, you know, I remember going to church and, you know, in the beginning years, and it should still be that way. Don't just get used to going. I mean, I'd want to run to an altar. Nothing wrong with going to an altar, right? Nothing wrong if you have an altar call. And I'm not saying that for tonight necessarily. I'm just telling you, if Brother Larry's preaching a message and you feel like, wow. Do you ever feel like sometimes every message is for you? You know, how did he know that? How does he know about me? What's going on? You know what I'm saying? And you know what we got to understand is God shows him what to preach, and he has no idea who he's preaching to. I mean, he knows you specifically, okay? I know a little bit about you, okay? But not enough to say, this person's got this problem or this problem. That, not at all. Not at all. And so, but it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. In other words, it'll cut you up going both ways. Piercing, even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I have down here, ouch. Ouch. I got my toes stepped on. Okay? And my toes are not even being stepped on. My knees are being kicked in. And so we got to understand, God has a way of making you be aware of things. He makes you aware of things through your conscience. And then here you can be aware of something with your conscience. Come to church. All of a sudden you hear the preaching. Amen. And the next thing you know, hey, that word is like a fire, a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Turn to Luke 24:32. These are the two men I don't have it open to it, but on the way to Emmaus. And they said one to another, Luke 24:32, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Did not our heart burn within us? You ever felt that way? Amen. The scriptures is letting you see, and it's bringing conviction. And that's the way the Bible can bring conviction. Okay. And when we're convicted, we're found guilty. Okay. They were convicted by their own conscience. They were found guilty. Go down to 1 Corinthians 1:18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. I'm going to read two verses there. 1 Corinthians 1:18 and verse 21. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. The word of God is the power of God. Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. It burns, it convicts, and it gets you to a place of you're headed this way in life, and all of a sudden you realize, I need to repent, I need to turn, right, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings conviction. It's powerful. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I like these two verses. Turn to Acts 2:36 and 2:37. Acts 2:36 and 2:37. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. But watch this verse, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What did he tell them? Repent. Amen. Repent. But they were pricked. They were pricked. The place there in Acts where the Lord is dealing with Saul, and before his conversion, it talks about he was kicking against the pricks. He was kicking against the pricks. What's that animal, honey? I keep forgetting. The one that pulls the cart. The oxen, the two oxen, they're pulling the cart, and the guy driving it is wanting them to go, and they fight. And so he has a long stick with a point on it, and he prods them, pricks them. Okay? And that's the way God will do to us to get our attention, to make us aware of something we need to listen to and be aware of. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even at the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Number three, being aware by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus could not be here forever. And he said, I'm going to leave you and the Comforter shall come. Amen. Aren't you glad when the Holy Spirit directs you? The Bible says, turn to John 16:7. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you, unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 18. And when he has come, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, he will reprove. You know what that is? Convict you. He will tell you that you're guilty. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Amen? They've got to understand and believe that Jesus died for all of our sins. This message in tonight is not necessarily a salvation message, but salvation's everywhere in the Bible, and we know that the Holy Spirit helped us when we needed to be saved. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Turn with me to John 6. I'm sorry, Romans 8:16. I scribbled some things out. And scribbled out the text. John 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, it gives us the peace that passeth all understanding. When I wasn't saved, and I hate to say this, I sat in a good church like this for almost 4 years. And I kept telling myself, yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I know the scriptures. I must have done that. And I was trying to talk myself into something. And my wife really was the same way. And, and we had been going to church. We would go to the altar. We would get under conviction. But then we would talk ourselves into thinking, yeah, I'm okay. You know, sometimes when God's telling you you're not okay, don't try to convince God that you're okay. How's that sound? See what I'm saying? He's trying to make you aware about your life. Agree with him. Agree with him. He will guide you into all truth. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I remember when I got the peace that passeth all understanding. I went around talking to people. Okay? I went around talking to people. I was like 30, 31, 32, and I would go around talking to people who were older than me. Okay? I'd say, explain to me. I said, I mean, I understand it, but is it a little bit different? Tell me, how did you get that peace? And they'd say, well, when I got saved, I got peace. You know, and I'd talk to somebody else, and they would say the same thing. I'd talk to somebody else. I'd let weeks go by, find somebody else in the church, and I'd talk to them. And one thing led to another. I stayed at church talking to the pastor, and I stayed late one night on a Wednesday night. He that cometh to God, he in no wise will cast him out. I was claiming that scripture. Lord, don't cast me out. I want to be sure I'm going to heaven. I want to be sure without a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. That's why sometimes a child's got a childlike faith. They can just believe. Sometimes our life's complicated. And we got too many things. You know what I'm saying? Some barriers to get through. The pastor left that night. Oh, he might have left about 10 o'clock. And it was after a Wednesday night service like this. And I stayed and he said, look, I really don't know what to say to you. You know the scriptures. You know what to do. And I don't understand why you can't get the peace. He was being honest. We were friends. We were the same age. You know, we had children the same age in the church and so forth and so on. For about 30 more minutes, I said, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And I just kept trying to examine myself. And I seen myself. I could just picture myself. Look, this did not happen, but I was like holding on to a cliff. And Jesus was saying, let go. He was saying, let go of your own strength. Let go of Ronnie Mills. Let go of everything you know. You've got to let go so I can save you. And I sensed the second that I was really ready to trust him, it was like I was going to let go, and he had me. I got saved that night. I've had the peace that passeth all understanding. I went home and told my wife, I don't know if it was that night or soon after that, she got the peace that passeth all understanding. We've got two children. We've got 5 grandchildren. My heart's desire is they truly understand and get saved. That would be for your family, right? People you know, friends. And you know, you want to get them in church so they can hear the Word of God. You want to be a witness to them, and that's why you've got to have a good testimony. And you've got to understand, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. That's sad. It's like, man, I don't know if I can turn away from, they think it's their life. Are you with me? They think, how can I turn away? And they've got to come to that place. They've got to come to their end. But God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit of God. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. They've got to get to that place. Are you sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God? You know what it means when the Holy Spirit's tugging at you? When he's trying to make you aware, leading you into something, trying to help you. Do you have peace about salvation? I hope so. But the natural man, that's the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Do you ever feel that way when you're talking to somebody? Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Quench not the Spirit. That means don't put the fire out. In other words, let be a part of something that's going on forever with your family, with your church. And they which heard it, being convicted by their conscience, by the Word of God, and by the Holy Spirit of God, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone. They went out one by one. And the woman was there standing in the midst. I'm sure she was happy to have met Jesus that day. I'm sure they were doing things to her and embarrassing her and making a fool out of her. But God had something else in mind. What they meant for evil, remember with Joseph? What they meant for evil, God meant it unto good. That can happen. Maybe the Holy Spirit's telling you somebody that you can invite, or somebody you can pray for more. Holy Spirit of God, make them aware. Let their conscience tell them. Pray for somebody specifically. Let them see a track. had a lady that followed me wherever I went after I was a teenager, and she was always wanting me to know the Word of God. She told all the other kids, I went in the Marine Corps. She told all the other ones, I don't think Ronnie's saved. She used to send me, every time it was my birthday, she'd send me some things. She'd send $5 or $10. That was a lot to her. But she'd send me tracts. I knew the tracts were in that little package one day. And I didn't want to open them. Because they brought conviction. I hope you understand conviction. I hope you understand how God wants to make you aware of things in your life. You've got a good church. You've got a good pastor. Pray that God will really do something here. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for tonight. Dear Lord, I pray. I really know I had peace. This is what you wanted me to say. But I don't know who might have needed just a little something. And I pray you would use it, not for me. Help us, dear Lord, to be aware of everything you're trying to show us. To be a better daddy, a better grandpa, a better husband, a better person. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you. Amen. I'm just going to close the service like that and let God be aware of everything else that He wants to do for you. Let Him make it better. Thanks, John. Glad to be here tonight. Appreciate everybody.